Welcome to the 73 Dream Studios Variety Show. To Horror Hotel. It's me, Ray. And this is the first horror game that I'm playing out Sicily since the podcast has started. Boy, what a doozy. If you guys wanted to see me get scared live, I'll probably be playing more games, horror and otherwise, on my Twitch stream, rdog20. And you'll also see me play Phasmophobia with Sicily on her gaming channel, Gaming Experience. You can find that on YouTube. But today we're going to be discussing a different kind of spiritual game. We're going to be discussing The Medium, a single-player psychological horror developed and published by Bloober Team, the company that is known for many horror games, such as the Layers of Fear franchise, Observer, and the Blair Witch adaptation. The Medium was released on Xbox and PC January 28th, 2021, and then on PlayStation 5, September 3rd of the same year. That's where I come in, guys. I'm going to be playing on the PlayStation 5. Alright, guys, now we're going to get into the plot details of The Medium. First, I will say, along with the full spoiler warning, as is normal on this show, we are going to be discussing some very heavy topics such as child abuse, so be forewarned there. The game takes place in 1999 in a post-communist Poland, the base country for the dev team, and we follow Marianne, a spirit medium. With third-person fixed camera angles, we get the eerie sense of there being something more to this character. Sure enough, while preparing her foster father for his final rest, she discovers his spirit is still at work and not quite ready to let go. Here we learn about Marianne's abilities and how they affect the game mechanics. The screen splits in two, and on one half we see Marianne of the real world, while in the other we see Marianne now with white hair and different clothing in the spirit world. Spirits like those of her foster father can only be seen in the spirit world. Marianne helps him feel at ease and encourages him to let his spirit finally rest. Back in the real world, Marianne receives a phone call from a man named Thomas. Thomas, who Marianne has no memory of ever meeting, claims to know who she is and her abilities. He also has knowledge of a reoccurring dream Marianne has, of a little girl standing on a dock being shot. He says he'll tell her what it means if she meets him at Neva, a workers' resort, long since abandoned after an event known as the Neva Massacre. A lot of the lore of the game can be found through its collectibles, as Marianne will go through the many rooms of this facility. Along the way, she first encounters the spirit in the form of a little girl named Sadness. Sadness, while not malevolent, proved to know the dangers of the facility, warning Marianne of the danger of the Maw. After roughly 90 minutes of gameplay, where we see Marianne work as an investigator and learning some more abilities, such as the Spirit Shield and Spirit Blast, as well as having out-of-body experiences, Marianne discovers an evil entity known as the Maw and must outrun it. After escaping its grasp in the spirit world and discovering Neva holds connections that allow her to jump between worlds fully, Marianne discovers the Maw can also travel between worlds. While he remains unseen, he can only hunt by sound. The danger of a Maw is still ever present, whether you're in spirit world or reality. From there, we experience a vision where we get to play as Thomas, who is revealed to be a medium. Thomas confronts his friend-slash-brother Richard, after having found a diary depicting Richard's artwork of Thomas's daughter, whom he had left in Richard's care. Thomas activates his abilities and enters Richard's mind. Despite learning of Richard's past of being abused by his stepfather, Thomas felt no remorse and severed the link between Richard's spirit self and his physical body, effectively killing him and sealing the demon born from Richard's pedophilic desires. After deducing that Sadness was likely Thomas's daughter, she attempts to help her cope and come to terms with what happened and move on. Sadness recognizes the trauma, but still refuses to leave, much to Marianne's confusion. Marianne would continue trying to figure out the mysteries of the resort and this mysterious place known as the Red House, while also surviving the Maw's pursuit. Along the way, she discovers that the Maw fears lightning, as its energy is similar to the Spirit Blast. Using a generator and a puddle, Marianne manages to scare the Maw away. After reaching the remains of the Red House, Marianne learns it was Thomas's family home. She experiences a never vision, where she learns that the Germans learned of Thomas's abilities and sent someone down to hunt him down. This agent would torture him and set fire to his home, with both of his daughters inside. After escaping his bonds, Thomas would attack the agent mentally. This would be another segment where we play as Thomas and enter someone's mind, this time learning of a demonic entity within that gave this agent his moniker of the Butcher. After using more of his advanced abilities, the mediums apparently have the Force? Yeah. Thomas finds the Butcher's spirit self and severs the connection, killing him. He then runs to his burning home, calling out to his daughters, Lillianne and Marianne. Marianne takes all of this in and continues into the home. Using the mirror connections, Marianne visits multiple rooms, one belonging to Sadness / Lillianne, the other belonging to her. After completing puzzles, Marianne learns that the Maw is actually Lillianne's demon, one that was originally born from the rage Lily felt after her mother died, giving birth to Marianne. He only grew stronger after Lily's trauma from Uncle Richard. After the house was set on fire, the Maw promised to save Lily if she left Marianne behind. Lily refused to leave her sister, so the Maw presented a new deal. He would save them both if Lily agreed to let him out. Marianne becomes determined and continues her adventure. After being chased out of the spirit world version of Lily's realm, the mirror connection is broken along with the mirror in the physical realm, which led Marianne to discover an underground path. Here she discovered a nuclear fallout shelter. While avoiding the Maw, she learns that there was room in the bunker written with glyphs that apparently helped Thomas feel normal, as his spirit self seemingly had an alternate personality, whereas Marianne is one with her spirit self. Thomas recognized Lily was losing control of her demon and placed her in the room. However, with the deal already completed, the Maw eventually gained enough strength to break out, as evidenced by the bunker door being beaten down from the inside. After experiencing another vision in the spirit world, Marianne meets the spirit form of Thomas, who admits that once the Maw broke out, he slaughtered many people, which would lead to the events of the Neva Massacre. Unfortunately for the Maw, Lillianne's abilities weren't developed enough to give the Maw strength to leave the resort, and he has been trapped there ever since. This is why the Maw had been following Marianne as it recognized her power and wished to take her and use her to escape and slaughter more. Thomas's spirit says that killing Lillianne would put an end to the Maw, explaining why Sadness wouldn't move on and that he has no doubt that his physical self would never be able to kill his own daughter. He tells Marianne that she is the only one who can do what must be done, stating, "You can't save everyone, Butterfly." Thomas's spirit self stays behind to try and hold off the Maw. Marianne walks in the real world to the docks and discovers Lillianne is alive and well. Lily explains that while Marianne forgot about her due to her coma, Lily never forgot and sent Marianne the dream, not of a warning, but of her desire. She hands Marianne a gun and asks her to kill her, so as to kill the Maw. The Maw comes forward with the intention of taking Marianne and stops only when Marianne threatens to kill herself, trapping the Maw in the resort. The Maw slowly makes his way forward as Marianne contemplates what to do. This all culminates in a gunshot, the voiceover of Marianne saying it all started with a dead girl, and a black screen, leaving us to wonder who Marianne shot. We are then treated to a post-credit scene in the spirit world, where a man whom I originally believed to be Thomas, there's a lot of speculation online about who this could have been. Most people believe that it's just someone that since Marianne wasn't aware of, we as the player are not aware of. I still maintain it probably was Thomas. They pick up Thomas's old pocket watch and walks away from what looked to me like a tear between the two worlds. So, in a moment, I am going to cover a few short fun facts, and I'm going to give you guys my analysis of the game. I got a prepared statement. I sat down after playing the game, gave my concrete thoughts. They're still a bit scattered, but I'm going to give you guys my analysis, fun facts, and I'm also going to be hyping up the wrestling show that I get to take part in. So, all that and more after this quick break. Alright guys, let's go over some quick fun facts about the medium. The concept for the medium was originally made for a 2012 game, but the technology of the consoles, those being the PlayStation 3, the Xbox 360, and the Wii U, they weren't able to keep up, and the idea was left as Bloober Team Mythos until they received a preliminary dev kit for the Xbox Series XS and realized they could finally create their vision. They originally intended for it to be a first-person game, but after some difficulties with playtesting, decided to take inspiration from major horror franchises Silent Hill and Resident Evil with third-person fixed camera angles. That was the first thing I said when I realized there were fixed camera angles. I was like, oh, so it's Resident Evil. There was indeed a major voice acting talent in this game, helping to elevate it ever closer to that illustrious AAA status. Though the voice may not be very recognizable, Troy Baker portrays the Maw. The game features 90 minutes of motion capture and was determined to be done with American Mid-Atlantic accents, despite the setting for approachability. There was the intention to include a setting with Polish voiceover with English subtitles, but the pandemic caused them to scrap the idea. The medium received fair scores, with IGN giving it an 8 out of 10, Game Informer a 6.75 out of 10, and GameSpot gave it a 9 out of 10, the highest score. Alright guys, but speaking of reviews, I'm going to give my analysis. I criticized the game in the beginning for coming off as boring, and I did that because for the first 90 minutes, all I did was walk around, watch cutscenes, and pick up items, even though there wasn't a real reason for me to care or even be aware of their significance. The game only left me at a feeling of unease, with no true terror coming in that time frame. But if you can be patient and make it through the game collecting at least 8 trophies along the way, I kid you not, there's only 40 trophies in this game. I collected 31 on my first playthrough, and at one point I got 4 of them just from picking up one item. Yeah, but if you can make it through the first 90 minutes of the game, you'll be introduced to true terror. The design of the Maw is great, with just a sight of it inspiring me to run in fear, clearly indicating this is not a creature you are meant to fight. Troy Baker also delivers with his voice talent, sending chills down my spine with every creepy phrase he uttered. While there was plenty of emotional beats throughout the story, there were times I'd be taken out of the immersion when I noticed the characters' faces are blank slates, despite the emotion the actors are attempting to convey. I know Blue Bird Team has an amazing art team, as the locations were all well thought out, lived in, and in the case of the spirit world, truly haunting. Perhaps facial expressions is something that the entire development team lacks experience in, because all of their major games before this had been done in first person, and that also was what this game was originally meant to be. Also, a lot of their prior games had little to no cutscenes or human-to-human interaction. Bloober Team games tend to rely on the feeling of isolation to keep you on the edge, always wishing you weren't alone, then immediately wishing to be alone when confronted with whatever horror is next introduced. In the medium, though, they introduced key NPCs in Sadness / Lillianne and Thomas, and I found myself caring for them and wanting to get to the next chapter of the game so I could learn more about them. The writing was a grade above that of Layers of Fear and Blair Witch, which mostly relied on words left unsaid, but here Marianne openly speaks her mind to work through problems, both physical and emotional. The game also manages to tackle heavy topics like child abuse without a heavy hand. They don't need to show these actions, the actions of a sick man, to convey the message of what he does, or in what he has done. Instead, they take the time to dig into his backstory to understand where his evil intentions came from. While his actions are recognized as vile and disgusting, they don't trivialize and box him in the role of a villain. They recognize him as a sick individual who might have been better if he had received help, but he must still face consequences for his despicable actions. I enjoyed the chance to play as Thomas. As a more experienced, mature medium, Thomas has advanced abilities, and they make him more inclined to combat the demons, whereas Marianne is left to be more subtle and find less conventional methods to hold them at bay, such as shoving a generator into a puddle in order to shock the Maw. It was a different playstyle, and effectively evoked different emotions in me, as I felt more bold confronting whatever laid around the corner as Thomas. The feeling of dread and paranoia came back with Marianne as I would hesitate to turn that very same corner with her. I appreciated the cliffhanger ending. I sat there asking who Marianne shot. Seriously, if you had seen me on the stream, I sat up and I was like, who'd she shoot? Who did she shoot? And with the post-credits scene, I wonder if Thomas survives the encounter with the Maw, where Thomas's physical body is, and why there seems to be a tear in the worlds. If there is a follow-up to this game, I'd like to either play a more advanced Marianne or play as Thomas. I just really want... Those are the best segments in this game where you got to play as Thomas. Thomas gets a stronger spirit blast, a stronger spirit shield. He gets to have the Force, apparently. And Marianne never exhibits the ability to access people's minds and to sever their link to their physical body like Thomas does. Maybe that's because she's never tried doing that, but, Marianne definitely seems to be a more positive force of her powers, unlike Thomas. There's so much lore with Thomas's character, I don't even know if he was born with these abilities, or if he had received them because of the experiments that the World War II Nazis had done on him. This is all such great lore to this game. I'm so excited and happy that I actually took the time to find these collectibles in the end. Now, with that tear in the world, though, I have to wonder, did Marianne actually shoot anyone? Or did the Maw succeed in his plan in escaping the spirit world and the Neva Resort after all? Like I say, guys, this was an excellent horror game. The average playtime for, I use howlongtobeat.com to get average playtimes. The average playtime for this is 8 hours. I think I did it in like 7. It's a good short story. It'll give you chills and it'll leave you wanting more by the end. You just have to be patient. You have to be patient with them, man. All right, all that said, this has been a wonderful episode of Horror Hotel. As you guys can tell, we're getting pretty short with just me here. So hopefully I will have JP here for maybe not the next Horror Hotel. I got a few different things in the works. Hopefully, and honestly, JP has a lot on his plate too, but hopefully I can get him in the studio recording for November. That's why I'm thinking. I'm thinking maybe get him in the studio for November. That might be the best idea. But in the meantime, next week I will be doing a Grappling with Ray because on the Friday after this episode publishes, there will be the Autumn Moon Festival Showcase for Impulse Pro Wrestling, where you are going to be hearing the voice of Moi, announcing such talents as the Impulse Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, the Masshole, Mike McCarthy, Manchester, New Hampshire's own Tyler Nitro, members of the Syndicate like B.A. Tatum and Owen Brody. We're also going to be seeing the man formerly known as CJ Cruz, now known as Mortar. You may have heard me talk about his time in Atlantic Pro Wrestling, one half of the APW Tag Team Champions. Speaking of which, let me see here, is I believe by the time this episode comes out, I believe APW's Equilibrium show will have already happened. So I'll definitely cover that in the Grappling with Ray episode next week as well. On Equilibrium, we're going to be learning if Mortar and Dynamite Danny Miles are still tag team champions as they are defending against Waves and Curls. George Joel is defending the APW Heavyweight Championship against Nico Silva. And this event is not going to be available on Fight TV, guys. So if you want to see this, or since I'm pretty sure by the time this comes out, the show will have passed. If you guys want to see the APW 10th anniversary show coming October 15th, then check out their website, check out Facebook.com. in order to get all of the big announcements and the ticket sales, and hit up their merch stand when you go there live. They're absolutely fantastic. Don't forget to check out Cicely on Gaming Experience, her independent gaming channel, where you get to see me basically try and fail to be the man in the van on Phasmophobia. You'll also get to see her play Sally Face, and actually, I'm pretty sure by the time this episode has aired, she will have started her journey in the medium on Gaming Experience. So if you want to see someone play this and get their real-time reactions, check out Gaming Experience and you'll get to see Cicely play the medium in her own little live horror hotel. Well, it's not live. She taped it, but still, big things are happening. She's got a lot of scary content coming out for this month and October. So you have all that to look forward to. You're going to get to see me live on Twitch in the wrestling ring, ring announcing. So much exciting things are happening, guys. I'm excited to be a part of it. I'm excited for you guys to be a part of it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Don't forget to hit up the Facebook and Twitter for Clark Dion, the Facebook for 73 Dream Studios Variety Show, and the Instagram for 73 Dream Studios Variety Show. I have a lot of things to plug. I remember when I did the first episode and I had to make up sponsors. God, this is a big thing, guys. Make sure to share this podcast with your friends, especially if they love video games and professional wrestling, and a bit of horror and mystery motel in there as well. Much love. Grappling of Ray next week, and I'm still working out the kinks for October. Oh, that's the other thing I'm supposed to do. If you guys have played a little game called Returnal, feel free to send in your opinions or stories of your experience to anchor.fm/73dreamstudiosvarietyshow. Just click on the link anywhere on my Anchor page. It'll be there where you can leave a voice message. And if I like what I hear, I'll include it in a future Gaming Gab episode where we cover Returnal. Much love to you guys, and enjoy the rest of your day.